do 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 do
movies.
Right.
Welcome back, guys.
Hey. Oh, we're doing it.
All right. Yeah, we're live. Yeah. It's happening.
We're doing it live.
It's all happening.
We're back again.
So, I'm going to unpause our conversation from before. You've never seen this fucking movie?
No, like, when you guys were like, hey, what movie are we doing? We're doing, oh, I was like...
You don't... Brian has never... Hi, guys. I'm Pete.
I'm Brian.
I'm Neil.
And Brian has never seen Young Guns.
No, I don't know how this happened.
This is
just,
like this is
my hair was getting
prayer
washed.
For the Roller Boys.
Wow!
This is the movie that defined my generation.
Wait, are you saying that Rollerblades defined my generation?
Yes.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
They did.
It was a thing. I get it.
Clearly, everyone had them. I had them.
Yeah. No. You're so cool.
We are three dads reminiscing movies of our youth. At least my youth.
You've seen it. Like an odd man out.
Okay, so do you know who's in this movie?
Charlie Sheen.
Keep going.
Two words can summarize everyone.
Yes.
Two words.
Dick Longley?
Rat Pack.
It right. The Brat Pack.
Rat Pack. Yeah. Rob Lowe?
No, he's not in this.
Okay.
But so Charlie Sheen.
Right.
Emilio Estevez.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, Keef, but what are
Kiefer,
the odds?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Kiefer? Nice.
Queef.
Well, Lou Diamond Lou Phillips Diamond. Is in it, but I don't know if he's exactly...
LDP?
He's not a brat. Yeah, he's no brat. He's
yeah,
not,
but it's LDP. Respect.
Who
yeah.
else? There's like a couple... Okay, so Bon Jovi was in the second one as an extra. He gets shot during the breakout scene.
Wow. Yeah. They made a sequel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Younger Guns.
That's what they called it.
Wow.
Young Guns 2.
Young Guns 2.
Clever.
Inspirational. But we're going to try and answer three questions tonight. And what are those three questions, Neil?
Every time.
We're going to... Until you get it right.
Does the movie hold up?
Question one.
Should we make our kids watch it?
Question three.
Littering end.
And should it be remade, rebooted, or removed from the earth?
I love this edition of removed from the earth.
I got to get you on the title art now.
Yeah,
checks
this is definitely where it's at. I'm so excited. This movie, really, this was up there with Predator and RoboCop in as high rotation in our household.
Wow. Ooh, okay.
Yeah,
RoboCop,
like, rarefied air.
So you're saying this isn't Roller Boys. This is like Young's household, Batman Returns, Predator.
Oh yeah,
and Major League.
Yeah.
Rotation.
Like definitely up there.
Okay,
this is like one of the ones I feel like we should have done in the first 50, but here we are at.
I mean, we had Daryl.
122.
Short Circuit.
Yeah,
like, we had so many to get through.
We had so many just. Classics, award winners, Razzies to wade into. What do you remember about this, Neil?
And it's funny, all of the movies that are picked for this, I've seen them, but it's been so long. I just have these odd memories of it. The word Fargan.
Okay.
That one holds out. A Fargan lie.
Okay.
I think if you didn't say that a lot when you were a kid, you were missing out.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Brian's confused.
I was like, first off, let's just start from there. Are there guns in this movie, or are they just called Young Guns because...
Well, no, the guns are... They're young. They're new.
Okay. But hence the young part. Thank you. They're
okay.
new. But wait,
no,
the gun part. Like, wait, are we dealing with cowboys?
Actually,
soldiers?
I think the movie was called Youngst Guns.
That's a one-man army right there. These guns ain't so young anymore.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is like six shooting like cowboys. This brought the Western genre back from the dead.
Emilio Estevez plays Billy the Kid.
We're watching a Western?
This is a Billy the Kid movie.
I thought it was more like West Side Story kind of thing going on here.
Oh, dude,
like,
just because I love musicals doesn't mean I'm forcing you to watch one.
I thought I was getting roped a dope into this. All right.
I'm going to keep you up. Never gonna let you. You're gonna get Rickrolled.
I'm gonna get Rickrolled.
No, this movie, it's essentially the Billy the Kid story. And it's also how, was it Sheriff or Marshal Pat Garrity hunted them down, and there's like a whole... I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
That's okay, the, all right. That's, well, that's the, great. I love
that's
it.
The whole movie.
I'm on board for a Western.
Okay, good. Because you don't have a choice. We're watching it.
And something with Fargan.
It's a Fargan.
I mean, the way you guys are describing it is, it's like this quintessential movie. Everybody had to watch it with Fargan. That was like, that's all I had going into this.
Quaid.
Yeah. And you remember the whole movie, Pete.
Mostly, yes.
Mostly, yeah. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not going to... I just don't want... I want Brian to, like, immerse in... This is one of my favorite movies as a kid. And I'm actually very interested because once we get to the end of this movie, I might turn the mic back on and be like, oh, I had a very disturbed childhood.
we might discover some things.
There's a lot of fodder here for your therapist.
Yeah.
So we're going to go get some ice cream.
And scotch.
And scotch. Bourbon. Bully boy tonight. Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Ooh.
It seemed right. It seemed like the right thing.
It seemed, well, you know, again, we shall see after the because at one point we thought Fitty Stone was the right thing to do, and it wasn't.
Twice.
Oh, that's right. You did it twice. I only did it once.
Twice.
That's a terrible
game. I support Maine.
Yeah, we shouldn't have.
With money.
Yeah. So... Are you ready to do this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's
do it. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Motherfargans. Motherfargans.
I hope it's coming back.
All right, guys, we'll be back in just a few clicks of the mouse. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Does someone have a bullwhip in this?
What were we just saying, Brian?
No bullwhips. Not a single
heavy
whip.
On the bull, not so much whipping.
Yeah. I feel like there was something lacking in this movie, and bullwhips would have helped.
let me just start right off with question one. That was nowhere near as good
as I remember. Well, I wanted to ask you, what was young Pete's favorite part of the movie? Do you remember? Was it just the whole thing?
Was it when the prostitute just gently held...
It was the side boob.
I think the side boob got me. Probably the Texan shooting, like when they shot the Texas guy in the saloon.
That was a good scene.
That was the best scene
in the movie.
But like, you know, 13-year-old Pete just loved shooting in westerns.
There was a lot of shooting.
There was a lot of shooting.
Credits start with just these guys posing, and then guitar riff, and then just nonstop shooting, and that was the movie.
Yeah.
You could have turned it off at the credits and been like, I've seen the movie.
Except for the peyote part, where it comes to a screeching halt.
Wow!
Like 8 minutes!
Of them just so high.
And to be fair, pretty accurate of a really bad trip.
Yeah, I've seen some guys just go on a bad trip and then just randomly start speaking and deep.
My favorite part of that trip, though, when Charlie throws up and he's like, this is lovely.
What a day, what a day.
This is amazing.
I couldn't tell with the voices if it was supposed to be funny or if they were what they were going for. Because, I mean, you can't help but laugh at the voices.
No, you can't. And then when they went through the Navajo village and how come they aren't saved? Because we're in the spirit world and they can't see us.
Dirty Steve. I mean, like Dirty Steve.
Have you ever been like...
He was the saving grace.
Hanging out somewhere and you see someone either super drunk or super high like stumble through your midst? That is... I know what those people were feeling.
I'm pretty sure we've all been that guy at least
once. I've always been the Native American people like, what the fuck is going
really?
On?
Really? Because
what is this asshole
I've been
doing?
In the spirit world and...
Yeah. As people on the outside watching in, it's ridiculous.
It's amazing on the inside. Let me just throw that out there. You all don't know what you're missing.
Pete, it's just you half naked crawling through the street saying you're the Lizard King.
That is also true.
And that's
and it's amazing. Don't knock it till you try it.
And that's why we're not allowed at AHOP.
All right. So,
Two sentence synopsis.
Brian?
Yeah, I'll go first because I put a lot of effort into this one. All right, Young Guns. Terrence Stamp picks up young and wild boys to bring home to his bull ranch. Yada, yada, yada. Shootouts and last stands. Because literally the plot kind of fizzles right after he dies. They're like, what do we do now?
Well, no, he was like, they deputized him to serve warrants on the guys that killed Trumbull. And then Billy is psychotic. So he's like, you know what? Warrants are kind of cool, but I'm just going to go fuck up a motherfucker.
Well, I feel like this is sort of like the Underpants gnome. Step one, become deputies and get these warrants served. Step two,
kill people.
Step three, vengeance. But that whole second step is a little hazy.
Yeah, it did. Did you get like a little Robin Hood vibe out of this? Where like
no, they called him Robin Hood, but well, no, I did but they're not
like,
get it.
No, I could see they were trying to in it. It was like he was, and then all of like the Mexican village that was there. Now they're all like treating him like, oh yeah, he's a great guy because there was some sort of conspiracy ring.
There's like an hour of extra detail and footage that they never included. I bet you if there's like a master cut of this that goes on for 3 hours, I bet it explains everything
poorly.
As you said, this maybe would have been a better movie series or a TV
series. Yeah, I was actually thinking that this would have made a great series, a TV show, like 2 or 3 seasons long.
All right, well, that's my 2 cents synopsis.
All right, pretty good, pretty good. Neil, you get to go next because I'm still thinking.
Do it.
Okay.
Bring us
home. Well, Young Guns. When British dad Terrence Stamp gets capped for Dirk Dirk and our jobs, it takes some young American guns named Emilio and a Filipino named Diamond to avenge him.
And some guy with a Kiefer.
And good old Kiefer, but... Yeah, I think the first big warning sign for me with this movie was the accents.
Oh! Wow, we're starting off early.
We're going to go Charlie Sheen's. What accent was he? Was he just drunk Charlie Sheen, or was he stoned Charlie Sheen?
Well, he was just Charlie Sheen, but once in a while he was from Boston. There was a little bit of British.
He was kind of a Memphis Belle that could rely on the kindness of strangers for a while.
He went Scarlett O'Hara for a hot second. And then finally, then they're like, "Just stop, just do the Sean Connery. You mean I'm as good as Sean Connery? Yeah, Charlie.
And we had Jack Palance, and like he and Terrence Stamp both acted well, but the accents. I mean, Jack Palance, we thought he was pirate for a while.
Wait, that's true. I'm sure he was gonna be like, "Yee, scurvy dog."
To be fair, I would watch that movie.
But you know,
pirate Jack Palance.
We'll return to that idea later.
We'll circle back.
But for the record, though, Terrence Stamp is British.
He is. Yeah.
His accent was spot on.
He was the best part of the movie as far as, like, you know, the acting. I mean,
oh, 100%. He was a
real character.
That moment at the dance when the dude bumps into Terrence Stamp and was trying to get into a fight, and Charlie goes, "Stop." And he goes, "You and me got a problem. You and I."
Yeah.
You and I, isn't that right? Yes, that is correct. Yes, you and then like backwards boxing fists.
Because he was like, I'm not a knife smith or a
gunslinger.
I'm a pugilist. Yeah, in a movie with guns, yeah, that's good. Let's see how the
it's
guy
called
with the
young
fisticuffs.
Pugilist.
Yeah. Young Guns and the Pugilist.
Like, honestly, if his death scene could have been a little bit better, if it was more Indiana Jones bring a knife to a gunfight kind of thing, where he like goes outside like trying to box him, someone just pulls a gun and just Jack Palance pulls a gun and just shoots him.
Or like
that actually missed an opportunity.
Or like he runs out of ammo and just throws it down and runs up to the guy and punches him and then gets shot.
Yes. Yeah, they could have gone Deadwood, epic fist fight in the streets.
Yeah.
And then someone just shoots him.
Yeah.
And then,
And then someone just like walks up, bang, you're dead.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they play up this pugilist thing, and he has like that boxing, you know, with the guy, and you're like, all right. And does it come back and pay off in the end?
Nope. Not at all.
Doesn't even make sense.
All right, I got to try to think of something off the cuff here.
It's riding on you.
In a world where there's so much shouting you can't tell what country someone is from, comes a tale of Young Guns. Billy the Kid, but not really. He's not even Robin Hood, but he wants to be. So they're going to fight and do things, and then there's going to be other things, and more shouting, and now I'm getting angry, and now I'm going to laugh incoherently, and that's it.
And the saxophone cuts in right there.
Oh my god, the music! Oh my god! Okay, I honestly feel like I have to apologize to myself
from 30 minutes ago, Pete?
For 3 hours ago, me. I'm like, I can't wait to watch this movie. And now I'm like, you know, I could wait.
Yeah, like...
I've waited almost 30 years to watch it again.
I was this year's old when I finally saw Young Guns.
And it's my fault. And it's all my fault.
You're the asshole.
I'm the asshole. Question one. Did this movie hold up, guys?
Well, I will say, I was entertained watching it with you guys, and I had a lot of fun, like, making fun of this movie. So I enjoyed watching this movie, but...
Did it hold up? It did not hold up.
Like, the whole time I'm like, man, I wish you were watching Tombstone again.
Oh, man. The whirlwind. The whirlwind. Like, there were a lot of his catchphrase killing remarks that were just dumb.
It just didn't land. It's just like, no, oh, all right.
Okay. Oh, man. So I'm going to have to actually sink this battleship. Yeah. Oh, that's
Bismarck. Neil, like, did you've seen it before. Was this all you remembered?
I remembered the good parts because it does have good parts. True. And there are parts that are very close to being good.
They're right at the cusp.
They are wonderfully mediocre.
Like quite a few, yeah, but it's quite a few. And there are funny parts. And it's probably more fun to watch than it should be, to tell you the truth.
This is literally if you took the video game Sunset Riders and made a movie. So you guys remember? Do you guys play the video game? It was there was a version of it in the movie theater. We'd always play a couple games sometimes before a movie. But it's pretty much you're a cowboy and you move from left to right, shooting all the bad guys in the windows.
That was Gunsmoke for me. Like,
same idea. Like that. And then they made a video game. Yeah. Not a lot of plot, but a lot of shooting.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like this movie to me got better and worse as the movie went on. Like, it actually, like, to me, like, both somehow simultaneously were happening, that there were cringeworthy parts to it, like, as it's evolving, the whole, because it was just so confusing.
It was very confusing.
And then, like, Brian, I think you disagreed with me on this when we were watching. It was like, I actually liked Emilio Estevez and his development into this psychotic killer. Like, he really was, like, was Billy the Kid to be but... It just, maybe it didn't land quite right, but I actually saw his evolution into this killer, which is obviously completely fictionalized and not real.
It was kept wondering, like, I kept feeling like I had missed something, like maybe I had a blackout moment, because it started the movie where he's a kid and he's taken into the group, and then all of a sudden he's like leading the group, and then now he's leader of the group, but he's so crazy, but he's a kid. Like, his character didn't seem to gel for me. I didn't ever believe that he was the leader.
But I think that confusion is kind of on purpose because, you know, the newspapers kept getting it wrong and they thought that Dick was the leader of the gang, but calling him Billy the Kid. So, like, there's all the confusion about, like, who's in charge. And then, like, there's every single time that there was a gunfight, there were no witnesses left alive.
Yes, that was my point. Where is this newspaper coming up with? Billy the Kid shot a man left-handed, dead in the eyes from 50 yards.
I'm not left-handed.
Well, you bring up a good point, because there is a mountain of stuff that doesn't add up in this.
Yeah.
But I think the newspaper part actually really does. Because the newspaper narrative of Billy is like a very consistent, deliberative sort of myth. Whereas the real guy, it's like they keep saying, like, you know, he's not all there.
No, is that 25? Five.
Yeah.
You mean 10.
But call it 10.
So I think that part's actually really consistent. Yeah. Sure, I kind of like that.
All right, that's a good point. Like, it could just be like the newspaper, you know, heard about the gunfight. It was like, well, no one knew what happened. So there was a massive gunfight that I witnessed. Well, you know what I realize? That's kind of like the whole thing. People are saying, I've heard smart people are saying that Billy the Kid is a real deal badass.
What people are saying that?
Smart people.
Lots of people.
Yeah. All right.
No, he turns into a William Wallace type guy. And really, he's just this. He's Emilio.
I heard William Wallace.
He's Emilio.
Bolt from his ass.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Better accent than anything Charlie Sheen just brought
to the
table.
Oh, my God. Sean Connery would have been great in this movie.
But again, it would have been a random... Like, why did Jack Palance have to even be Scottish? I guess he was Scottish.
He was Irish. He's a Murphy.
Why?
Murphy.
Why? They could have just named him Daniels. And it would have been Jack Palance, who is scary.
There are threads of historical accuracy in this. There was a county war in New Mexico in which Billy the Kid, Pat Garrity, and, like, there was murders around this event that Billy the Kid was involved with.
Well, okay, so, but that just...
So, the names, so maybe the Murphy character, which I don't know specifically, I'm going to have to Dr. Google it, but I thought that there was, like, they tried to keep some of the people's names...
Right. Well, then, I don't know, maybe don't get Jack Palance to do your Scottish Murphy.
What, you get Sean Connery to do an Irish accent? Like in
the Untouchables? It would have been Scottish, would have been better than Jack Palance's Irish.
Entire generation of us thought that that's what Irish sounded like.
All right.
That's the Chicago way.
That's true. It's the Chicago Irish.
Oh, Jimmy. What's it doing, Jimmy?
If only we knew someone who was Irish who could set us straight.
If only someone was here tonight that we knew.
Oh. If there was only this one. It would have been amazing to set the record straight of like how accurate Jack Palance's Irish accent was.
Well, we'll just have to.
Or my Irish
accent. I mean, everyone's here saying you were spot on.
Yeah, because it was perfect.
And who's going to dispute it?
Right?
No one.
No one here.
No one here.
All right, so question two. I love the idea of a miniseries or like a show.
I'm going to take this one first.
Do it.
I do want to see a reboot of this as a TV show.
Yeah.
HBO.
Yes, HBO.
Make it a bit more gritty. Keep some of the slapstick humor type stuff in there.
Well, you like the relationship of brothers.
Yeah.
I kind of dig that.
And it doesn't necessarily even have to be a Billy the Kid story, although I guess it does. I don't know if it really needs to or not. If it just completely
fits. It could be more like an homage. He could be like just a young gun. Who, you know, gets like that Billy the Kid-esque rap.
Or you could update this and do like the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio and they set it in the modern times and you could try and like
okay,
update.
But that movie sucks.
I'm saying you could update this into like turf warfare, city violence, you could do...
I thought you were going to say flip it and make the cast all female.
I would watch that. I just want you to hold me. China!
Oh, boy.
We'll get
to
that. The Celestial Bride.
Yeah.
With her mother and 14 brothers and sisters.
We're going to ride off together, live life. We have to stop to get family.
That is not how many do you have? Doc was envisioning when, run away with me. But yeah. We have to take my mother. All right, fine. Your mother can... And my brothers and sisters?
How many?
Or two. Okay, fine. Sure, come on. And they all show up at the train station together. Like,
they're literally a wagon train of people.
Like, how many tickets do I have to buy? Oh, my God.
Well, that'd be like you go to pick up a date, and she's like, I'm sorry. Like, I can't go with you. Well, why? Well, I have to take care of my brothers and sisters. Well, we'll bring them to the movie, too. Okay. And you're suddenly there with, like, 18 people. What?
The mom was more than happy to give her to Murphy. She was relieved.
That was not about her.
He's a villain, yeah.
I'd like to see a series done of this, but I'm trying to... Who would you want to see in these roles?
Ooh. I'd like to keep him on the younger side.
Except Lou Diamond Phillips. The guy's ageless. Same character.
There isn't really a Brat Pack right now, is there?
There really isn't. No, you could go like Tom Holland and...
I would say Tom Holland.
But he's in everything.
He'd be great as Billy the Kid, though. But because he looks like a kid still.
Right.
I mean, he's 23. But he looks like he's 18.
Emilio Estevez was like 26 when this movie came out.
Wow.
I think it was written by a 27-year-old. And it was financed by a Subaru dealership.
Dude. Ford. This was nothing. Oh, if we had more like Chevy trucks going through there, I would have been like, oh, we're watching a commercial. Okay, I get it.
When you need to shoot in all the windows of a house and burn it down, nothing beats Chevrolet.
Oh, I know. It's a movie, and you don't want to harp on that stuff, but like, my God, there was absolutely no reloading, and every window got shot out 5,000 times.
Well, how about and the yet guy? They still didn't shoot out all the windows.
No, there's still glass left. How about the guy who hid in the wooden outhouse that was just clapboard? Like, all the shots, like...
Oh, the bounty hunter.
That was a warning sign, also, wasn't it?
That was true. That was
no,
a warning.
No, the warning sign was before that. When Murphy comes to the Tunstall homestead, and he's like, come talk to me over here secretly on the side. And let's go by the pig pen. And they can't see Emilio Estevez literally, like, hanging out at their dick level.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, behind, like, six sticks of wood. Yeah. You know,
well, not only that, but, like, I have to admit, that whole little scene...
He was like Drax.
...had no payoff whatsoever. Like, that's all you hear is that the bad guy has, like, a lot of political power.
And that he has a store selling the same kind of things.
Well, that's what sets him off on his quest, right? Yeah. He's, like, all the corruption.
Yeah, but, like, there was any ways to do it, but they took so long for that scene. I'm like, okay, bad guy has lots of power, and he's going to push out good guy. Four minutes later... And then you're going to really want to leave. I do want
to
leave.
It was definitely a mistake that they tried to make Emilio Estevez make it about vengeance as opposed to just Billy the Kid being a psycho, just enjoying shooting shit up. And he was like, I'll get it with these guys. This is going to be great. I get to shoot shit up. I'm like, I'm the law now.
Well, except it was just he got picked up by Terrence Stamp, who said, come with me, boy.
I'll teach you to read and write.
Join my other gang of boys.
It's kind of a shame. Yeah, Billy had a lot of the best scenes, but he's the least interesting character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. Ooh. I think that's...
No, I wanted
that's
to see it. A lot that's more from problem. Doc.
Yeah, Doc, he's a poet. He's in love with this woman he danced with. And you know what that means back in that time? They, like, pretty much were married.
He saw her ankles.
Both of them. All two of them. Which, we didn't even touch on the fact... He comes back to Lincoln. He sneaks into her room to be like, come away with me. Just, you're necessary.
And did you hear what she said? She goes, don't, I'm dirty.
And then he's like, well, wait a second.
Are you? All right.
He was kind of creepy, though. Like, he jumped through a window and he was like pancaking on top of her. He kept touching her with his leather glove.
Oh, Join us, Michael.
I was like, this is David as a vampire. But here's the thing. He's there, like, they want to kill Murphy. He is now... In Murphy's, like, concubine's bedroom, Murphy's been drinking, partying downstairs. He's going to come up for his goodnight cookies. That's the time you stab Murphy and then run away with me. And, hey, guys, I killed Murphy. Hooray! Roll credits.
Yep.
Yeah, it would have saved us another half hour.
Yeah, stuff like that brought the movie down. It was just...
Stuff like that. Neil, you are the king of understatements.
It was at that point I began to question whether or not we had made a wise decision.
This movie was clearly not living up to my expectations at this
We point. Carried on, but morale was dangerously low.
I felt myself slipping away from this movie, slowly. Tenderly, even. Question three. Unless you guys... Have we done two? You want?
I think we press on.
Yeah,
we
made our point. Yeah. Okay. Good. Will you have the kids watch this?
Well, I think for the same reason you enjoyed it. Like, you'd show this to a 10-year-old and be like, so it's a movie about cowboys who shoot a bunch of guys. And
they don't have the attention span to follow a plot anyways. So it's almost like,
it won't matter.
Shooting.
Pew, pew. They'll be like, whoa, and then he came out of there, and he was like, blah, blah, and then he rolled. Blah, blah, blah.
I think that's why Teenage Pete loved this so much. Like, you don't have to think. And I definitely conflated this movie with the sequel, with Young Guns 2. Like, I was actually, like, remembering more of Young Guns 2 than I was of this movie.
Was Young Guns 2 just, like, the cut footage from this movie?
No, it takes place after this.
I know, but, like, I feel like we're missing so much from this movie, you could make a second movie with everything they left out.
Yeah, so what we learned from you tonight, Pete, is we should have our kids hurry up and watch it and then never watch it again.
and then let them remember it as the greatest cowboy movie of all time.
Leave the glasses on.
Yes. They're so rose.
Yeah. They're going to conflate it with Tombstone. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen. The thing is, you got to show them this before you show them Tombstone because they're going to think this is good. And then they're going to think Tombstone is amazing and never want to watch this again. Because if you show them Tombstone first, then this, then they're going to be like, what the fuck, Dad?
They're going to be like me, who's like, boy, I wish we were watching Tombstone again.
Several times you mentioned that during the movie.
I did, because I kept thinking about Kurt Russell's scene, like, you know, with the thunderstorm, and he's yelling in the rain.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me.
That line.
Hell's coming with me.
Is so good that even you doing that gives me a little goosebumps. Yeah, well, this movie I kept hearing, it's the
whirlwind. I have practiced that line. I do love that line.
Like, it's the world, like, oh, Emilio, no.
And until they watch that movie, they'll just run around saying Fargan.
Fargan.
I am bringing that back, man. I am Fargan bringing that back.
You know, I'm not going to lie. Like, that's the kind of line that you got to have as, like, a pin or a hat as, like, a super deep
cut. Super. And oh, I that's love those. That's going to be in the merch store.
Oh, yeah. The merch store is really coming Fargan along.
Fargan pins now. So now we've got t-shirts and now we've got pins.
Yeah. Just check them out. You can find them at.
If you can find our merch store. We'll send you something.
You'll get 100% of the merchandise free on your first order.
Oh, it's going to be one of those old-timey, like, baseball shirts. It's going to be the old Mexico Young Guns, and on the back, the name is Fargan.
I love it.
That would be really good. So good, it's definitely going to be the first thing. It should be what we put on the store. On sale.
So, next week, guys.
Well, you had mentioned, like, we've seen Emilio Estevez now. Maybe we should get a little
better
momentum.
Momentum. I like
what you said. Yeah?
Keep the drive alive sort of thing.
Keep the drive alive. Yeah. I just need, like, I need maximum Emilio Estevez.
All right, we're watching Basketball Overdrive.
So, we're going to 11.
Yes. Was that his first movie?
I don't think
I don't. I don't believe it was.
No, either. Probably not.
It was.
No,
we're gonna go so with knowledgeable.
I'm gonna go with no.
Well, we're gonna go. No, I'm IMDb-ing.
We're in October now, and that's a horror movie. That is a Stephen King.
Is it a horror?
It is. About a bunch of trucks.
Is that horror?
Because
it's
one
funny.
Stephen King wrote
There's
it.
There's a scene in this when it's in the diner and like there's like a blender chasing a woman across. Yeah. The blender chases her and kills her.
Oh, it's a really goofy movie, but it's a Stephen King novella, like about all like electronics suddenly going nuts and killing people. The movie is technically a horror movie. Technically,
We might have a conversation with Coke producer after watching that one. We'll just have to see.
Oof. I wonder if Stephen King remembers making that film. Can we talk about the Jack in the Box scene at the end?
Yeah, that was one where you absolutely called it, and then
I was so shocked. I was so shocked because I was like, "That, yeah, Jack in the Box. He's in the box. Huh? Cause what kind of asshole gets thrown out of a second story window in a trunk, tumbles and rolls, and then pops out to go get you, motherfuckers?" Emilio Estevez.
Split second later,
a young Samuel L. Jackson should play Billy the Kid coming out. Come on, motherfuckers!
So. I have to admit,
there's snakes in this box.
The final scene, I'm like, okay, they are trapped in a house. They're outnumbered like 80 to 1. I'm like, all right, how they can get out of this? Like, I'm interested. Oh, wait a second. It's going to be they just come running out in slow motion, firing. No one seems to be able to shoot most of them. And they hit everything, kind of, and then they just run away.
It was lame. To be fair, didn't you know that slow motion running is the most pure form of camouflage?
Well, I thought you were going to say that it was like the Naruto running, where like you're 20 times faster if you Naruto run, and that's what they did.
They were just like in the Matrix.
Oh.
Oh, I was going to say they were doing the cronk against the wall.
Oh yeah, that part was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, it was such a weird.
Well, you know, everyone got bored, went over to Murphy's Saloon across, literally behind them, right in the street, got shit faced drunk. Yeah, this was like several hours later.
That's it was just on the cutting room floor. Was all the soldiers drinking?
Mm-hmm. And then Billy comes back and shoots Murphy right between the eyes. Now it's over, which I thought was actually a good ending line, because then the movie was over and then it was they forgot about an epilogue and they scribbled some words down on a pad of paper and gave it to Kiefer Sutherland. So, dude, just read this.
We ran out of money. What are you going to do? Kiefer, come here. What? Read this.
Honestly, still not as good as the best run out of money ending to a movie ever, which is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Well, that's true. That was
Ended the movie.
Yeah, the movie's over.
So, that's it for me. I'm done. You got any final... Oh, I have one final thing. So, at the final fight scene, right?
Yeah.
They kill Dirty Steve.
Sad.
Charlie gets his kill shot in his death throw, which was, like, actually a pretty good death, right?
True, but I said, that's a Sean Bean death right there.
That was definitely Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring death.
You got 9 buttholes in me, but, my God, I'm going to keep fighting.
I'm going to get it. But... all of it, like, you know, you would think that when, oh my God, look, here they come, guys, get the Gatling gun out. No, wait, save it for the lawyer. just save it. Hold on. Don't want to waste those bullets.
Who was holding a white handkerchief? Like,
don't shoot me. Guy, is that the lawyer? Get him.
I can only imagine the returns of a life insurance policy, death by Gatling gun.
What does that pay
He
out?
Made out like a bandit.
Oh, that's how his wife was able to carry on the dream. Yeah. He used his, like, insurance money.
And reopen the store.
What did they call her? The greatest cattle herder ever or something?
Like, it was like Lady Cattle Herder? That was her official title.
She herded all of the cattle with his Gatling gun money.
For that same token... When that, like, when they're sitting there, they're, you know, Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez have their guns out, and they're gonna finish this for once and for all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, who's that? Oh, no, it's the bounty hunter. He literally, like, rides up. Hey, guys.
I'm gonna kill you now.
We're looking for Billy the Kid. Well, you found him. They all have their guns drawn. He's like, okay, puts down a rifle. Well, I guess we're gonna do this.
But you know what that reminds me of? In Unforgiven, when Clint Eastwood is like, nah. I've been in a lot of gunfights. When he goes into the saloon and shoots up those 12 men in the saloon and then kills Gene Hackman on the floor in the saloon in Unforgiven.
Sure.
You know, it did remind me of, like, the guy that's calm and cool under fire. And the guy, he was a bounty hunter. He's been through all this, like, he doesn't get phased. So he can take the calm shot.
Okay, but it's still, like... The six guys with the guns drawn on him from like 10 feet away.
I know.
As he's like, let's do this. That should have been, and then he died.
You saw what they were going for. You're right.
I mean, I don't even know why they waited. They're like, that's a bounty hunter. I'm here for Billy the Kid.
I'm looking for the forest for the trees.
Like,
yeah.
Billy Kid, hold on one moment. Oh, he's right there behind you. What?
No, man. The big Texan guy.
Oh, that scene was great. That was an amazing scene. I will give you that. That Texan getting his comeuppance, thinking like, not. When he gives him the gun. Yeah,
no, it was like a Quentin Tarantino scene.
No, that the part when he kind of goes like, that gun killed Jimmy Shitbob. Yeah. And SMS turns around and is like, bullshit.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Well, nine amps, but like that was a very well-written scene. I feel like that they pulled in like all the original writer, like, I have to take a shit. And a better writer came in and was like, I'll finish this scene for you.
So are you saying like, Ben Affleck wrote the movie and Matt Damon wrote that scene?
Yeah, that would be how it works.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Ouch, yeah.
Ouch, but...
Yeah, why are we hating on Ben? He's had a rough go.
Listen, man. Gotta call it how you see it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Watching? Listening. Yeah. Oh, you did.
Why? Because they are watching us through our voices.
No, but that's how this goes. Like, everyone who's listening to the podcast, they also are about to watch the movie. They hit pause. When we hit pause, go watch the movie, come back and listen to what we did.
I'm sure that's what
everyone does. I'm sure that's how it works. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how you used to do it, right, Neil?
Absolutely.
100%.
Didn't even hesitate. Thanks. I appreciate that.
I don't have to eat ice cream alone now. That's the best way.
It's no longer a shame ice cream. It's brotherhood of bonding ice cream.
It's cheers. Ice cream.
Yay.
Yeah. It's not... I'm going to... cry into my tub of
I'm watching Young Guns again, okay.
I just watch Young Guns by myself.
Also, how weird is it to, like, go, can I touch your gun? Like,
yeah.
Can I?
Just for a minute, like,
can I just stroke it for a minute?
That'd be like if you were doing something like, you know, like, hey, can I touch that? Excuse me? Which brings up my point. I feel like the porno for this movie is already written.
Go explain.
Really? Well, one, we have so many shots of, like, these guys' crotches.
Money shots.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, again, an old man finds a young, you know, tough guy to come back to his ranch and join his boy team.
Bunkhouse is out back. I'll come by later and teach you how to read.
Uh-huh. Oh, and yes, for the record, this is not a heterosexual porn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Yeah.
Send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook. And by the way, I just applied to get our podcast onto Amazon Podcasts.
Whoa.
So we'll find out. And and also Spotify.
You mean we might make it into the big time?
I know.
You get those Amazon dollars?
9 cents. Actually, fractions of... Well, anyway, so no money at all.
I mean, I don't know if they want to give us free Prime. This podcast is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, when you need cardboard boxes, they deliver.
Frequently.
God, so many cardboard
boxes. So many cardboard boxes.
All right.
All right, guys. We will see you next week for Maximum Overdrive. Do, 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 do.
Boop. bullets would have made this better.
Less bull.
More whip. Like Cool Whip.